Welcome one and all to the Backstretch Podcast. I'm Zoe, he's Jeff, and Jeff, how was your weekend?
My weekend was great. I was missing you because you went up to Golden Gate Fields. I was supposed to go up and help you with the telecast.
But you wouldn't load. You wouldn't load at the last minute.
I was still a little bit sore in the left ankle. I had to scratch myself because I'm not 100%, and I had a lot of work to do. But we'll get up next time. I think in about a month and a half we'll be up there again. But your first visit to Golden Gate Fields, you saw a good race.
It was great. The whole trip was great. Dave Duggan, the GM up there, Irish guy, has a great team behind him. Patrick Mackey, the racing secretary, and it was almost like a breath of fresh air.
It was up there. You're right. Everyone's on the bay there, right?
Definitely fresh air. The weather was perfect. Everyone was happy. We had some great, safe racing all day there at Golden Gate. And to be perfectly honest, I can't wait to go back. I enjoyed Berkeley. I enjoyed the hotel. I enjoyed the view of the bay. I actually really had a good 24 hours away.
Now, you told me that you've been on the Golden Gate Bridge, right?
I've run across it. I did the San Francisco Marathon.
Right, right.
And Mark Twain was right. That was in August. And it was...
pretty cold?
Yeah, it was freezing.
Anyway, you saw a good race. We'll talk about Azul Coast, who won the El Camino Real Derby in a minute. But we had something extraordinary, I think, happen here on Sunday in what was just a nondiscreet maiden race, fifth race on the program. Nobody expected anything spectacular.
It was so nondescript. The trainer even forgot the horse was in and went to a Globetrotters game.
He did. Bob Baffert had a couple of horses entered in the fourth race, actually, at Santa Anita. One of them was scratched. That's a colt that he had to take out. But he had another colt in there named Charlatan. And Bob, rather than show up for the race, he had purchased tickets to the Harlem Globetrotters several weeks ago. And he was actually thinking about coming out and saddling Charlatan, but Charlatan had worked well from the gate before leading up to his debut. And then he worked the 5/8 on the flat. Bejarano worked him, and Bejarano came back after the workout and said, he went all right. He got a little tired, was blowing. And Bob says, well, maybe he's not as good a horse I thought. Maybe he's not fit. Whatever, I'll go to the Globetrotter. So he's sitting in there watching the Globetrotter game at the, I guess it was Staples Center. And he starts getting text messages on his phone, like, wow, and what, you can't believe it. And Bob's thinking, is that a good wow or a bad wow? I don't know. And then Jimmy Barnes says, do you miss something extraordinary? And what did he miss, though? He missed a colt that, I don't know, I mean, based on the 105 Byard number that he earned in this almost six-length win by Charlatan, maybe he's got the fastest three-year-old in America and didn't even know it.
I think maybe he does have. And the problem that Charlatan's going to run into is that everybody is already comparing him to Justify late in the game. He's a stocky-looking colt by Spitestown. They paid $700,000 for him. He's out of a mare who was primarily a sprinter, Authenticity. She won the La Trion. Todd Pletcher trained her. He's actually a half to Hanalei Moon, who's a pretty good sprinter as well. So there's an awful lot of sprint in there and being by Spitestown, but he's a little bit more elongated than your regular Spitestowns.
I was went by the Bob Baffert barn this morning, as you did, Zoe, and I started talking to Bob about it. I mean, look, Justify broke his maiden first time out just about exactly 2 years ago. Same day, same time, you know. He did it on President's Day, and Charlatan did it before President's Day. And I said to him, I said, is it completely out of whack that we could think of him as being a Derby horse? I mean, Justify is a Triple Crown winner. I mean, he could pull it off. What about Charlatan? He says, I'm not thinking about running him in the stakes. I don't know if the non-winners of two would fill around here. I may have to take him on the road. But he says, I never thought of him because he's by Spitestown. He's a very powerful looking colt. He doesn't give me the impression he necessarily has to be a mile and a quarter horse, whereas Justify, he never thought that would be an issue. But he pulled him out. We weighed him together. He took him over to Matthew's scale, and he's about 1150, somewhere in that area. To give you an idea, Nadal is over 1300. American Pharoah was like 1175, 1180. So he's an unbelievably good-looking colt. Got a little bit more length, as you mentioned, than a lot of the Spitestowns. Great hip on him.
Well, a damn Authenticity is by Quiet American. So
they can
you're going to get some of that.
Right.
We must not forget she was third in the Breeders' Cup Distaff.
Yep.
She was second in the Zenyatta, second in the Personal Ensign. So she did stretch. Perhaps she ran better numbers sprinting. Mm. I'm not sure. But there's certainly light at the end of that proverbial tunnel.
So I asked Bob what he was going to do now. And he says, I don't know. All I'm doing right now is thinking about Saudi. And McKenzie and Mucho Gusto left this morning. I don't know how do you get to Saudi. I don't think there's nonstop flights, but maybe there are. I don't know. So Bob's leaving on Monday, and he'll be there. All he was talking about this morning about how good McKenzie was doing and Mucho Gusto, and how he's afraid of maximum security, and why wouldn't you be? That's going to be a heck of a race. But he says, when I get back, I'll worry about it. But one thing he did tell me is at Charlton, and I could see this for myself, he came out of the race in great shape mentally and physically. He's a smart colt, took the race in stride. And you know, it's the kind of colt where, because Bob's got four or five others, he doesn't really worry about it, but the owners have to be thinking sky's the limit now.
I mean, there's
Doodle's.
Did you kick Doodle?
I don't think I did, Doodle. Did I kick you?
That was a yelp by the resident house dog here. Okay, he's at okay. TV. He'll be okay. Fine. But the ownership group of Charlatan, basically the same bunch of people that were involved with Justify minus Windstar. So it's SF Racing, Starlight, Mattaket. They bought about 37 yearlings 2 years ago at the Keeneland September sale, specifically for this West Coast Starlight Racing syndicate with everyone else involved, specifically to run in the Triple Crown races. So they're going to be gung-ho and try and get this horse in a Triple Crown race. Obviously, Bob Baffert has the final say because he's the trainer and no one's really going to disagree with Bob on where this colt should go. But I guarantee we'll find him in some prep somewhere.
Barbara Banky, who bred the colt, stayed in for a part, so that's always a positive sign. So lots of owners, lots of opinions, lots of high hopes, yeah. and everything else. And I'll talk about where I put him in my list a little bit down the road here, but I think he is very exciting. I wouldn't be surprised to see Bob put him on the road, because if he can't get a now, what is a two to fill, then he's going to have to send him somewhere. Maybe take a look at the book on Rebel Day. Maybe there's a first level allowance there he could run in. And he's the kind of horse where you run him in one of those major prep races month out, and then if he wins it, then you're in, and if you don't, what's the big deal? You know,
right.
You don't have to. By the way, this is going to be one. I'm making a prediction here, and I asked Bob about this, and he kind of blinked or gave me a wink. I said, "This is the year you probably should look at the Florida Derby for one of your horses." And he said, "You know, maybe this is the year I will." He doesn't like to go down there. In fact, I can't remember the last time he ran one down there. But he's got such an overflow of 3-year-olds. He told me that Nadal came out of his last race, the one that he won in the San Vicente. He said he came out of that race so good and so much better, and he's just over the moon on his prospects. So there's a lot to talk about there. But there are other 3-year-olds, believe it or not. There are other 3-year-olds that are out there.
And Charlatan. Right. So let's kick on and talk about the Risen Star. Two divisions this past weekend went as race 12 and race 13. Let's lead off with the first division, the fastest division of the pair of them, Mr. Monomoy taking this one down for trainer Brad Cox.
I love this pattern, by the way, for Mr. Monomoy. Now, I know he won on the lead, and sometimes that can fool you, because who can't win on the lead, right, if you give you an easy trip? But Mr. Monomoy's buyer numbers since he started his racing back in mid-October at Keeneland for Brad Cox, his buyer numbers have gone from 65 to 75 to 81 to 86 and then a 92 in the Risen Star. Now, 92 is still not, like, spectacular, but at least it's moving
right,
in the right direction.
The right way, yes.
He's going in the right way. He's got two wins, and they were both on the lead, though, Zoe. So do you think he's one of these horses that maybe won't be effective stalking, or do you think he's maturing enough to a point where that would be an option if it presented itself?
I think he's just figuring it out, because a lot of people had high hopes for him, of course. He's by Palace Malice. He's also the half-brother to Rachel Alexandra. Monomoy Girl, out of Drumette. So I think he's just figuring things out. The thing that I liked about this is how much faster he ran than the other division. Now, the half-mile splits were exactly the same, if you can believe that, 48-2 for both half-mile splits. But he came home a whole lot faster than Modernist did. And he came home with a flourish.
He did.
He actually finished getting his final 3.8 in 37.58.
Actually, I wasn't surprised to learn that, because I liked Enforceable in that race, and because I thought his previous win was very good in LeCompte. And he was too far back. I mean, he didn't break well, and he was last early. And I thought Enforceable actually was finishing with Flourish, and he never could make any impression on Mr. Monomoy. So I was thinking, maybe Enforceable wasn't finishing as well. But it turns out Mr. Monomoy was kicking in pretty clear. He didn't really give the deep closers much of a chance. And you know how good Brad Cox is as a trainer, you would have to think that now that he's been a mile and an eighth, he'll come, I would think. I mean, he doesn't have to come back in the Louisiana Derby, but why wouldn't you, I would suspect. I think that you'll see that group get together. And I love Palace Mount. I loved him as a racehorse because he was so versatile. Good horse. I don't know what they look like. I don't know how they're selling, but this is his first crop. He's got a chance to get a good horse. So I think Mr. Monomoy is pretty decent. And as you pointed out, Zoe, that race of 1 minute 50 and 2/5 seconds was 4/5 of a second faster than Modernist went in the second division. And Modernist did it similarly. He was part of the pace throughout and was able to hold sway. You liked him going in. What do you think of this colt by Uncle Mo, who, again, ran the slower division and only earned an 84 buyer number, which is probably not going to get it done?
And I'm okay with that because, again, I think this is a horse, much like Mr. Monomoy, who's starting to figure things out. You want to talk about the buyer pattern. 59, 79, regressed a little bit, 75, and then 84. And I'm actually okay with it. I mean, visually, I thought he looked good. Bill Mott simply loving this horse going in, saying this is his this year's Country House. Of course, won the Derby by DQ last year. Just not forget the Country House only broke his maiden in his third career start. He was ninth on debut. So this horse going the right way for a trainer that you wouldn't expect to make massive leaps and bounds. The fact he was even in this race, I think, is a massive plus.
I agree. Again, if you take the race at face value and the buyer's speed figure, and you can compare it to what Mr. Monomoy had done a half hour earlier, you'd say, well, Modernist won the race. That's nice, but there's still a lot of improvement he's going to need to get into that upper echelon. But who's to say he won't?
Yeah, there's plenty of room. A son of Uncle Mo out of the Bernardini mare, symbolic gesture. I think there's a lot of room for growth, and he's a beautiful-looking horse on the track.
In the meantime, Anna Dior, who was a very good second, not only in the Losa Futurity behind 1,000 Words, but before that in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, he didn't show up at all. I mean, he was right in the race, and then all of a sudden, you couldn't find him.
They put the blinkers on him. They wanted him in the race, which appeared to be the right thing to do. I thought he was rank. I didn't think he settled. He was swung wide, and he just flattened out. That would be my opinion. I don't know the aftermath after the race. Maybe he came up a little bit sick. Maybe his blood work wasn't right. I don't know, but he probably should have showed up a little bit. But I think the blinkers on put him in the race perhaps a little too much, and sometimes you're desperately trying to get these points and you can take a horse out of that game.
Maybe. But I'm tired of making excuses for him. So he's supposed to come and run in the Santa Anita Derby. Lane Wright said after the race he came out of the race fine. Couldn't even find an excuse for him. And if he's going to be a good horse, it's time to show it. So I'm off his bandwagon. And I really was on his bandwagon. In fact, I thought he had a great chance
you
in the Breeders' Cup
Juvenile.
I did. And he's gone backwards since then. So meanwhile, that was at Fairgrounds. At Oaklawn on Monday, they ran the Southwest Stakes, and Silver Prospector, who didn't get the best of runs in the Smarty Jones when he was a distant fourth over a muddy track, came out of that race and got a dream run, saving ground every step of the way, and then went by Wells Bayou in the final 16th of a mile, those two well clear. And Silver Prospector, and here's where you can get fooled a little bit, because I watched the race, he won the race, he had a great trip. And I didn't think it was that great of a race, quite frankly. And then he shows up with a 97 buyer number, which you can take at face value, or you cannot, or you can believe it or not. But he did run well. And being by a declaration of war, he's by a good horse. Why can't Silver Prospector continue on for Steve Asmussen?
I thought he ran super. And you know what? He reminded me his trip, his style of running, how he finished up. He's never really going to dazzle you. Reminding me a little bit of 1,000 Words when he had that inside trip right here at Santa Anita. I was very impressed with it. He's a big, beautiful-looking son of Declaration of War, out of a Tappet mare, bred just beautifully. They only paid $190,000 for him at the OBS.
Do you remember him at all? Did you see him down there?
Yeah, lovely horse.
That's
really
not
nice
much
horse.
Money, you know.
Not, but I mean, Declaration of War stands for 20,000.
He's in Japan now.
Yeah. So you know.
Okay, so that'll keep it down. But he had won the Kentucky Jockey Club over a sloppy track.
He also got some pace to run at.
Yeah, beating Tis the Law. So it's not like he hadn't done anything.
No.
And we know he can like an off. We know he likes Churchill. He likes an off track. He wins the Southwest.
I was very impressed with him.
Do you you come back maybe in the Rebel or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
Well, that'll be interesting because you know who's heading down there. Nadal, you know, so that'll be kind of fun.
Nadal plus maybe a couple of others.
Maybe
I
a couple
imagine.
Of others as well. Okay. Azul Coast. Now, I want to get your impressions. You were up there. He won a Super Saver colt who had won his debut. Distant second behind my number one colt in the rankings, Authentic, in the Sham. Never was in the race, but he did finish second. Comes out of that, goes up north, and wins the El Camino Real Derby. Does it by a little bit more than a length. You were there. You talked to the connections. You saw the race. What are your impressions of Azul Coast?
It was a good race for a horse who clearly liked the synthetic racetrack. He was swung wide on both turns. He most definitely ran a long way. Got a good ride under Bayerano, and he's got 14 points now. You know, I asked one of the ownership parties, Mike Pegram, where they're going now, and I simply got to the beer stand. So that didn't really.
Well, I can tell that group where he's going
Sandlin,
next.
Right?
No. Well, maybe. But talking with Bob Baffert this morning, he threw out the UAE Derby.
Oh.
And that's $2 million. And he was thinking, you know, where is this horse ever going to be able to run for $2 million? Because he's a nice horse. There's not much to look at him, let's face it. And these buyer numbers are stuck in the mid-70s.
Yep.
I like the mid-70s, you know, disco and all that stuff. But
that's all you see.
But that was me. But when you're talking about buyer numbers for Derby horses, you don't want to be stuck in the 70s. So I think he's thinking, you know, four left for Doug O'Neill is going to be maybe the favorite. Mile and 3/16, you know, he'll go that far. That's something he's seriously considering about.
But it's just still such a tough trip if you're going over there still to perhaps prep because you're still getting points to get into the Kentucky Derby.
I'm thinking he's not thinking
he's
Kentucky Derby. I think
derbies.
He's thinking he's grabbing the money. And, you know, here's another thing.
Derby fever is a tough thing to knock out, Siegel, even with
I understand that.
Mike Pegram, right. Paul Watson, like these guys have been in the game a long time. And
see, that's,
they're not getting any younger. A chance to run in the Kentucky Derby
I understand
is where
that.
Everyone's in the
well,
game.
Well, they're not older
they
than I am. And I would, you know what I would do with them? You ask me what I do. Would I go to Sunderland? Would I go to the UA? You know what I'd do with them?
What would you do? Sir?
I'd sell them and say, "Go
you
in
the
UA." I know, but you'll go in the UAE Derby. There are people over there who would buy this horse.
Derby
why not?
Derby fever is a very tough thing to come over. Okay, well, let's go down to Tampa.
Okay, Governor
we got
Morris.
To see Governor.
Governor Morris. Right.
Morris come back and he did it in fine fashion.
He did. I had this horse in my top eight last week, and I've been very high on him. I expected more, but here's the thing about Governor Morris. I don't really know what level of conditioning he was at. He was fit enough, obviously, to run. He was clearly not 100% cranked up. He won the race, but at the quarter pole, I didn't even think he was going to run second. And all of a sudden, he stayed on. He wore down Untitled, who got the looking around and floundering in the final 16th. And Governor Morris won the race. He only got an 88 buyer number, so he hasn't, in three races, cracked 90 yet. And while I love the colt and I love his potential and I love his connections and I love Pletcher and all that, I just don't know whether or not I have overrated him. And he will get a chance to prove me right or wrong in his next start, which I suppose could be in the Tampa Bay Derby.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm a little on the fence. Where are you on Governor Morris?
I mean, he prepped at Tampa, so I'd leave him at Tampa. I thought it was a workmanlike effort for him. 88, that tops his buyer speed figure. It was his first start since October. Going a mile and a 40 over a testing track. I thought it was good. I mean, Johnny V had to niggle him along the whole way, but I can't knock him off a win.
Well,
his first start of the year.
I can't knock him off a win, but I can drop him below horses that maybe I feel are more advanced at this stage. I still like him. He's a Constitution 3-year-old, great looking colt. I mean, everything about him I like. I was just hoping for a blowout, always dreaming type of Tampa Bay win, which I didn't see.
You did not get.
But there's still time to make that forward move. So
all
I'm
right.
Keep
so
my. All right. Meanwhile,
let's
the horse
talk Maxfield.
Because Governor Morris actually after winning his maiden by nine at Saratoga, ran second in the Breeders' Futurity to Maxfield. And Maxfield was going to be my selection in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And then he missed the race, and now he's coming back. Finally, there was a Maxfield sighting. He breezed at 3/8 and 38-1 at Palm Meadows on the 17th. If you didn't see the work, it is on XBTV.
I'm watching it right now, Siegel.
And I thought he went, even though he went slow, but he looked good. I thought he looked good. What do you think?
Well, we had this conversation about Brendan Walsh and how he gets horses ready. This horse looks fit. He looks ready to roll already. He was relaxed, which I wanted to see. And you can guarantee that he's had several two-minute licks, a couple of two-mile gallops, and he looks fit and ready. This is everything that you want to see. Now, is he going to be ready in time? Don't know. I mean, that's the $100,000 question everyone's asking poor old Brendan Walsh right now. Where are you going to run? Where are you going to run? What are you going to do? He doesn't know yet. He's going to let the horse take him and figure it out as he goes.
Here's the thing. He certainly would be fit enough to run in one of the major prep races right around April 1st.
He's just got to win it.
He has to win it. And would that be enough? He's got two starts as a two-year-old, one of which was a Churchill. He won a maiden race there. His Breeders' Futurity was a superior performance. If he can train him up to, say, the, I don't know, Wood Memorial, Bluegrass Stakes, any one of those.
He likes Keeneland.
Right. You could conceivably run him off that one win. To squeeze another race in before then would mean that you'd have to come back 2 or 3 weeks before the Derby. I'm thinking that he's going to point for the Bluegrass.
And
that's my guess.
I'm going to say, you know, when he had to have the ankle surgery and he was obviously scratched prior to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, everything happens for a reason. And having gone back to the barn and seen him, he's a big, tall, growthy, lengthy colt. The time off, I know it must have been heartbreaking for the connections, but I think it probably did him the world of good. He looks like he's filled out. He already had that big, beautiful frame that you'd expect to see from a son of Street Sense. And I think, honestly, it was a blessing in disguise. Now, I'm not sure Godolphin or Brendan may agree with me there, but he looks every bit
the
part
exciting.
Of a good horse.
He is a good horse. One more race I want to talk about. This week they had the Hutchinson, which was just a sprint. They didn't fill it at Gulfstream. So we only have one Derby race, Derby type of race. It is a Derby. It's called the Mind That Bird Derby. It's the prep for the Sunland Derby. It's at Sunland Park on Sunday. And Mike Smith is actually going to be down there riding Exalted for Peter Urton. Stack and Silver is a recent starter allowance winner for Richard Baltus. He'll be down. Small field of just six. But Exalted's a maiden, and he was second to Nadal. That looks pretty good because Nadal came out of that race and won the San Vicente, and Exalted actually finished very, very well to be second. That's the good news. The bad news is that the horse that was third in that race, Lane Way, just got dusted over the weekend by Bob's horse, so Charlton. So I don't know what I'm making that race, but being by Union Rag, oh, I'm sorry, Exalted's by Twirling Candy, Stack and Silver's by Union Rags. That might be a race you want to pay attention to.
Two California shippers going in there. Exalted draws post position number 3, 7-2 on the morning line for Urton and Smith. Stacking Silver, 3-1 on the morning line for trainer Richard Baltus, getting Figueroa to ride, coming off a 5.5 length win right here at Santa Anita.
2 5.5 length wins. One was a maiden 50, but Union Rags colt. So that's Stack and Silver. Exalted is the Twirling Candy colt. 4:36 Mountain Time on Sunday. Don't forget that. It's the Mind That Bird Derby, and it's $100,000 non-graded stakes. No points involved, but a good prep for the Sunland Derby. All right, my top eight. I'll run this by real quick.
Let's
Zoe,
do it, Siegel.
Authentic is number one. He works tomorrow. And looking good, nothing fancy. Bob wanted to work him today, and they wouldn't let him because the track is closed. He said there were other guys who used to work here that would have let me do that. I said, yeah, well, those days are gone. I don't know what time he's working tomorrow. Chisla Law is number two. I still like him a lot. How can you not? Maxfield, because
there
he's
go.
I got him number three because he worked. He's got a lot to prove, but I think he's certainly one of the top three that I've seen. Sol Volante, number 4. Nadal, 5,000 words, number 6. He'll run against Authentic in the San Felipe. Silver Prospector cracks the top 8, with number 7. And then Dennis's Moment is down to number 8. But you talked to Dale Romans this morning, and he doesn't be too worried about anything, does he?
You can catch his latest work on XBTV. 58 and change now. Numbers-wise, it looks like a good work. And Jeff's a little down on him, so we called Dale right here at the desk, and he was like, yeah, hey, you don't like my horse? I'm like, I want to see him for myself is what I want to do. I want to see if he's grown up into a big, beautiful three-year-old or if he still looks like a two-year-old. So his work, basically, Dale's blaming Tammy.
Well, of course.
So if all else fails, you blame
Tammy. She messed up the work, right?
He said she messed up the work. They broke off head and head, and then Tammy wrangled him back three lengths behind the other horse, got a bit of dirt, and then couldn't catch a company. Now, if you watch the work to the end, Siegel, I'm not quite as down on it as you are. Because at the 7/8 pole.
Okay.
And I'm actually okay with that. I don't think it was that awful. Dale is happy. And then Dale comes with, well, what about my horse from Saturday? Hard spun colt, attachment rate.
Right.
Broke his maiden by 5.
He
on
was
Saturday.
Impressive.
He was very
There's
impressive.
Another new shooter we got to consider. Attachment rate. Who's he by again? He's by
Hard spun,
right. And Dale's going to look around for him.
Jerome, perhaps. Maybe the Jerome app.
That would be perfect for him. And then maybe the wood after that. So these three-year-olds are kind of coming out of the woodwork. You just never know when the next one. Dale's got Dennis's moment. And he's got this other colt.
Attachment rate.
So there are two horses definitely to follow. One horse, unfortunately, we will not be following anymore is Country House. Last year's Kentucky Derby winner, in quotes. He actually finished second, but you know the story. He was moved up to number one. He was retired just over the weekend. Looking at Lucky Colt, had issues after the Derby.
Basically, had laminitis. And right. Sometimes horses, they're lucky to save him, can't come back from it. So he's since been retired, and he really hasn't been able to justify his win in the Kentucky Derby. And I know a lot of people were like, all right, well, he won it. He won it by DQ. Perhaps he wasn't the best horse on the day, but he was still second. He did beat 18 others home that day.
He did, but he only crossed the wire first once in his life, and that's when he broke his maiden. And he's by looking at Lucky, a very solid stallion, but not necessarily a sire of sires. What kind of reception do you think Country House is going to get? It's too late to breed him this year, so he's almost going to be out of sight and out of mind when he finally does go to stud. And when his foals finally end up running, which would be 2024, I think it is. I mean, he's going to be yesterday's news unless he makes it pretty quickly in his stud career. It's going to be a tough struggle
yep. for him. It really is. And we wish the connections the best of luck. Alex Solis is at the helm there. Ellen J. Foxwoods, Mr. Shields, McFadden, all the ownership group for Country House. He did have a sister, the Bill Mott trains Mitchell Road. So you're going to get some upgrades in that pedigree. She's a graded stakes winner already. But Country House going to stud, no stud deal as of yet. And I would imagine you're going to have to find someone that's really going to push his horse hard, send a lot of their own mares to him, and really, really support him. And I'm sure Ellen J. Foxwood and Alex Solis, they're going to support Country House because that is really the only way to get a young stallion moving in this day and age.
Well, we'll see what happens. Good luck to Country House and its connections. But you're right, that is going to be a tough task. Hard Not to Love. We'll finish out with a look back at an amazing filly, one-eyed filly by Hardspun, who has now won 5 out of 6 for John Sheriffs. She's not Zenyatta, but she might very well be the best filly he's trained since Zenyatta. And I thought she was absolutely spectacular in the Santa Monica over the weekend when she won that race by more than 3 lengths. Another triple-digit buyer for her. Lightly raced, won the Grade 1 La Brea on opening day here in December and did that in style. Beat Bellafina, came back and won again. This is a great story and a filly that is maybe better than people give her credit for.
And she is. She is. And she's always, I hate to say this, but been a little bit dingy. And Dave Anderson, who bred her, she's obviously a half-sister to the champion in Wonder Godot. Wonder Godot's tough to train as well. She leaps around the racetrack. This filly, even from a foal when she had 2 eyes, apparently she wouldn't even follow her mother in the stall. She basically, they had to back her in the stall every time they brought her in a stall. So when she lost one of her eyes in the paddock incident, I can remember saying to Dave, I'm like, well, she can only see half as much. That might be a good thing. It might not hurt her. She's missing her left eye. So I've ridden a couple of horses with 1 eye. And when they're missing 1 eye on the left or the right, it can be a little bit problematic. Now, she's missing her left eye. So when she comes around horses, she can't see them. So I used to ride a filly who was missing her left eye, and she used to love being on the inside of horses because she could see them coming on the outside. This filly Mike likes to take her around, but I think she's going to have no problem tackling two turns. Not with the way John's quietly, patiently brought her along. I can't wait to see her.
I actually thought that La Brea win that she had was very good, but I thought they kind of set it up for her because you had Bellafina go out there with Mother and she kind of, Hard Not to Love, came roaring from behind and blew by them. And it was good, but I thought she got a little help. She didn't get any help in the Santa Monica. They went 23 flat, 45-4. She's last of five early on, and Mike Smith took her to the outside, and she just blew them away. She accelerated like a good filly, won by almost three. Just a terrific filly, and I think if you can tell me, if you can guarantee me that she will go two turns, then I think Hard Not to Love is going to start, going to win again and again and again, and I don't even know who's going to beat her, because that's how good I think she is.
I think she can go two turns. Why not? By hard spun, she's out of a Vindication mare, but we saw what Wonder Cadot did, and she's got a little better disposition than Wonder Cadot as far as training in the mornings and relaxing behind horses.
Not the most glamorous division out there, the older filly and mare ranks, but Hard Not to Love is a welcome addition to it. She is clearly entrenched in that. Maybe there's a championship down the road for her. Anyway, can't wait to see her run again. Hard Not to Love. A great story, nice filly, and John Sheriff's, I guess we figured out he can train a good horse.
Yeah.
He knows how to do
it. He's having a superb
meet
really
right
now. Let's just not forget, he's got a couple of nice three-year-olds
including
as well.
Honor AP, who's going to be part of that San Felipe in a couple of weeks. That's
going to be a good
that's
race.
A can't-miss race.
Absolutely.
So lots of great racing coming up. It's an exciting time of the year, Zoe, not only with just the three-year-olds, but with the foreign races. We got the Saudi Cup in a couple of weeks, Dubai after that, and it's a good time.
And I'm off to Mardi Gras.
What are you doing down there? Now, don't... I will say this. I always say this to Zoe. I will always say this to Zoe. In order to have fun, do everything that I wouldn't do.
I will. In
good.
Spades.
I'm sure you will.
In spades. For Jeff Siegel and Zoe Cavan, we'll see you next Tuesday. Hopefully.